Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Happy Mom, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guests are a magical couple who I regularly see dance on their Instagrams. I often think I too can dance like they can, but then I see myself in the mirror and realise that I definitely can't. I'm very, very excited because these two are pure rays of sunshine. It's Aston and Sarah Merrigold. Hello.
Hello.
I mean, talk about making it all look effortless. You two really do when it comes to like, I love your videos of you dancing.
I mean, yeah, it's not effortless.
You know what it's like behind the scenes?
Esther doesn't like learning routine to me. I'm like, again, but
really?
Honestly, I've got a little PTSD.
I'm a bit like that.
Yeah, full PTSD. Of
how many times do you record them before you get them right?
They're all different. Some are quick, some literally once.
Oh, and I'm like, yeah,
15 times.
Got it. We're not doing that again. We've got it.
Yeah, no, great.
I refuse. And then there was one we did a couple of weeks ago.
Quite a few. 15 times.
Yeah.
Same bit going wrong.
And were you talking by the end of it?
No, we were. I think we had a glass of wine by the end of it.
It was just us, and we took time.
We took the opportunity to dance because there was no one going, Mummy.
Aww. Yeah. And how are the kids? Because your little one started nursery yesterday.
They're really good. And he loved it. He literally went in, bye. It was straight in, no look back.
Yeah, it wasn't even a bye, really.
Not even really a bye. We had to force a bye. And then when we picked him up, he come bouncing out, didn't he? Smiling, skipping. Yeah, he had a lovely day. So that's all you want, but it's just...
But he was wired. Last night, he was wired. Mm. And it was like, oh, this could go one or two. But either we're going to have a really happy child or we're going to have this child that is just like, I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah, leave me alone.
Yeah,
so,
he was wired.
I mean, it's a whole new world for them, isn't it? Nursery, like so many things to look at, to see, to experience. Not being with you two, you know, it's a big step.
It is
huge. And I think what makes it easier, obviously, because he's the younger sibling. So because his older brother's in school and literally the class next door, it's almost now got to that point of, I just want to go to school.
Yeah, he
was. Yeah, it wasn't forced. It was really nice. But then at the same time, it's, it's just a quiet household, but they're not here.
We've done one.
I mean, how did you feel when you came back yesterday and he wasn't, no one was there?
Yeah, it was weird, wasn't it? We actually,
that's why we went to the gym.
We went to the gym together. I mean, that's one way to celebrate, I guess, but that's something that you can't do really ever. So he was like, let's do it. You can, I said,
dry cleaning, drop the dry cleaning off.
Yeah, we did the bits. We did the bits that you can't always,
post-office.
Forget to do. Yeah, we did some chores. Yeah,
wow, guys, you were really living the high life yesterday.
Listen, I know you're all jealous, but it's okay. Your time will come.
Yeah, it's just the first step. We'll get to the wine and the lunches eventually.
Doing the pickup ridiculously drunk.
Yeah.
Come on, kids.
Exactly. It's a long walk, but it's okay. It's fine.
And that moment of drop off, though, because it's, I think actually the first time is one thing, but then as time goes on, it differs as well. I think sometimes the first time can be really happy or traumatic, depending on what your child's like. Cool. But then it changes as it goes on because they suddenly realise, oh, hold on, this wasn't a one-time thing.
No, exactly.
Where I'm just here to have one. It's a routine now. You're making me go here, you know, 2-3 times a week or however many times.
Yeah.
And that can, I think the emotions of nursery and drop-off can be really difficult because you just don't know what you're going to get.
No, and I think we are going to experience all of that, aren't we?
With this one, 100%.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Macaulay is What's the word? There's one. He's very...
I'm intrigued to what you're going to say.
No, he's very expressive with his feelings. Yeah. And how he feels, there's no hiding.
No, no.
That is no, like, whereas Grayson will kind of be like, Grayson, you okay? Yeah, there's no outburst. There's no kind of real madness around it. Macaulay, okay? No, I'm not your best friend anymore.
Yeah, he'll come out.
You're not my best friend. And you're like, I just said we haven't got any yogurts left. And this has just turned into like full on.
No, I'm leaving. Yeah. All of that.
He's two. And it's like.
He's very funny. We have to hold the laughs back, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah,
he's all over the place emotionally.
I wonder if that's a second child thing, because they do just like they seem to. Well, a lot of second childs I know assert themselves in a very different way to the first. Like they know the attention isn't fully on them, so they need to come up with a little bit of something else.
Yeah, I think so. True. He is like always like I'm first. I'm going to win. Like he's like that. So maybe that makes sense. He is really like that, isn't he?
Yeah.
We're like, no, it's not competition. I'm doing everything. Getting. Out of your clothes, into the bath first. Everything. I'm going to get to the bowl first to get my cereal. Isn't it?
It's like, yeah.
But I think you're right. And we speak to people and they're like, yeah, second child. They feel like they need to be a bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were your childhoods like? Are you from big families?
You are.
I actually am. Yeah. So I've got my mum's side of the family, which was... myself, a younger brother and a younger sister, then my dad's side, which wasn't until much later, but I've got another four brothers on that side. So I'm the eldest, but there's quite a gap between like my dad's side's brothers. Like my closest aged brother to me on that side is like 8 years, I think, something like that. So it's quite a difference. So my mum's side there, we're four to 5 years. So we're all quite, you know, in that I would say that normal brother and sisterly love and hate you stage of life when we were younger. It was very like, you know, we're best friends, but you're too young, so get away from me. Like my friends are here, all that kind of stuff. So But yeah, it was a it was fun having.
Where did you grow up?
In Peterborough.
I never knew that.
Not in London.
What's it like growing up in Peterborough?
It was fun. Actually, it was really fun. I had a great experience growing up. I had great friends around me, great family. It wasn't I wouldn't say it's much of a creative city in terms of opportunity, more so, which drove me this way. And you know, had to be in London, had to kind of fight my way into this city because this is what I wanted to do. So there wasn't really many opportunities, I'll say as many opportunities as there are now for kids back then. So it was, it was kind of the, I'm in school a little bit, I'm going to be a singer and I'm going to, you know, win awards and number ones and da 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 da. And everyone's like, yeah, right, mate, cool. Yeah, right. If you say so. It was that kind of, you know, that pipe dream is there and everyone was a bit like, that's not attainable. Like with this city is nowhere near any of that. So the fact that it was kind of achieved, say kind of, it was achieved.
Not just being kind to yourself there, it definitely was achieved.
It was achieved. Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, it was achieved. It was crazy. I think that was crazy. And I think that's even still to this day, family and friends and stuff from that city are a bit like, wow, it is mad. Like when they come to concerts and they're like, this is a bit nuts. Like, this isn't what we're kind of used to.
It's that whole thing, isn't it, about not, you can't be what you can't see, you know, not knowing whether that's achievable. But think about how many people that might be from that area or areas that, you know, don't have that stuff and they've seen someone like you do it and like, actually it is attainable. And you're actually going to be inspiring so many other people who are being told no, it's not, you know, it's not for someone who lives here and, you know, this is what we do here, and actually, you know, that's pretty special.
Definitely.
100%. And they're very proud, aren't they? Like, as a...
Oh, good. Like, yeah, listen, from family, friends, city, everything, they're very proud. I think
what,
the craziest thing is myself and as you know, Lewis Smith is from Peterborough as well. So like an Olympic medal winning gymnast. It's a bit like you've got these two totally different sectors of entertainment and sports and whatever it may be. It's like, you know, to somewhat the highest level. And we were both just from, you know, this small city. And as you said, it's kind of, but before, this is made obviously way before social media and stuff. So you're a bit like, you know, you read it in the local, they'd read it in the local newspaper and you'd see it on TV and whatever else. And that, I suppose, was, as you were saying, the kind of, maybe some kind of spark of inspiration for people at them times. So it's good. It's a good childhood.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. Sarah, how was yours?
Good as well. I've got a small family, so the opposite. It was just my mum, me, my mum, and my two older brothers. I have some siblings on my dad's side, but I didn't really know them, did I? But yeah, lovely. My mum, single parent, so she struggled, and I realised obviously now as I'm older how hard it must have been, crazy hard. My brothers are a lot older, so they were like fatherly figures, let's say, even though they were teenagers. But they were very good to me, making my mum's life hard, but very, very good to me, and are still good now. But dance is what I sort of gravitated to and jumped into. I remember mum, we were five, and I lived in Darrenfe. It wasn't the nicest of areas, but we were going to move, and we went to Dartford. And she said, there's a little dance school there, you know, when we move, I'll take you. And I think I went up that one day and that was literally it. It was Len Goodman's dance school in Dartford. Still teach there now. I'm going tonight, actually. I got attached to my dance teacher because obviously mum, like dancing's a commitment. And especially because I loved it, I wanted to go like as much as I could. Yeah. And so my dance teacher was like, I'll take her, I'll pick her up, I'll help you out, because mum was working. I remember my mum working days, nights. My brothers would obviously help look after me because they were quite a bit older. But yeah, so somehow made it work. And then I have literally never looked back.
Yeah.
Like, even now, like, I don't dance for a living as much. I choreograph still. I actually did something with Harry a couple of days ago.
Did you?
Which is really funny. He is another level though. He's like Taskmaster. I've never known. But anyway, I'm diverting.
Harry Judd is a special soul.
Yeah. Very special, very particular.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I was take the lesson.
That is a good...
Do you want to run it? He was running it better than me anyway.
He just has this thing, I think, of, he just wants things in his head to be right. Perfect. You know what I mean? He wants 100%. To get... Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and I didn't really know that until 2 days ago at Base Dance Studios. But no, anyway, but yeah, and then I did it from a young age, just as a hobby, disco dancing, throwing myself around, and got into competitions, and then, then managed, luckily, to do it as a career.
Do you think music and dancing and everything was a good way for you both to express yourselves and also to lose yourself in something that's completely other, you know, away from all the different pressures that we feel growing up, and just to have that focus and drive that just kind of separates it?
Yeah, I think so. For me, definitely. As in, I was actually quite a shy person. I'm not like, I don't know how I come across actually, but I'm definitely more confident now. I think you have made me more confident even as a person. But when I was little, I asked my mom, my sister dance teacher, who's like my sister, I was very shy, very like this on her, but then as soon as I was on the dance floor, it was like a different person, and I think I quite like that as well, and getting to have that alter ego, let's say, that Sasha Pierce. But yeah, I remember, it just used to, I just love it even now. If we're having a lot going on, I'll go and do, I don't know, or I'll go and teach, or I'll go and do a little job, and I'm like, I needed that today. That's completely cleared my head.
Yeah.
It really is good for me personally.
And me, I, as a kid, was probably the total opposite to that. I was I was the biggest show off possible, and I needed...
I was wondering what word you were going to use.
Love it.
I just loved that feeling of being on stage, and I just couldn't wait. And it was very much any opportunity in school, out of school, Signed up for any and everything, even if I couldn't do it, it was still to kind of be like, oh yeah, I signed up for that. And just, yeah, I just wanted to do it all. And felt very at home whilst performing. And I actually think I've probably got more shy and more reserved the older I've got, which I think
really
I just think that comes with age. I think when I look at my boys now and I just go, geez, like they still have that no filter. There's no kind of I don't want to say it's nerves or anything like that. It's just something that just kind of goes, well, it doesn't matter. Like, doesn't matter. Why can't I? Like, they crack us up. We're in a restaurant and they're screaming, singing and laughing, singing full on. And I'm just going,
and we're like, okay, yeah, oh my God. Inside voice. But actually, I'm like, do you? No, if you want to sing, have a sing.
Like, even now, I just go, oh, I'd just love to break out into song and just kind of like,
but you wouldn't.
No, but you wouldn't. As an adult, you just kind of go, ah. Oh, you know, we're taught not to do these certain things and this is right and this is PC and whatever else. It's a bit like whatever that little, I would say a filter, whatever that bit of magic is as a kid to an adult, and you do learn it, it does pull something away from you, and you do get, like you're saying, when you lose yourself and you're just kind of going off the stage and you're there. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, for me, there's something. I'm maybe always, even now, I'm still 99% there. I'm never 100% fully away on stage. Yeah. And I'm sure, like, you know, I'm not sure if you can kind of equate it to what Tom will feel whenever he kind of comes back and is like, that was a great gig, this didn't go so well, whatever else.
We get more critical, like, as we get older. Yeah.
You get so critical, but stuff like, I shouldn't be worrying about X, Y, and Z because I'm in this moment. But it's never 100%. It's always 99% now.
Hard to be carefree as an adult, I think.
I can remember being younger, and I used to do like abseiling and climb, all sorts of stuff, and just being like, I never want to feel fear. I want to keep doing these things so that that never comes in. But the reality is actually that as we get older, fear does come in because we have to be, you know, we've got different responsibilities. We're more aware of ourselves and what we give to others and what, you know, and how we are perceived. So I think it's inevitable, actually, that creeps in. Yeah. And like you say, you know, there's a way to be in life. We're all told that we have to sit quietly, eat our meal, you know, all this stuff. Mm. And actually, there's just so much place in us all the time. I think that's why we're witching hour for kids, is because they're all just going, wah! You know, if they've been at school, if they've been at nursery, that's all shaken off for the day. We have all that. Perform all the time.
Exactly.
I think every household has witching hour, surely.
Surely.
Did you think, did you think ahead to becoming parents yourselves before meeting each other? Were you like, I definitely want to have kids when I'm older?
We'd been together time, and he still was definitely not.
Are you into power that you've got kids right now, Aston?
Yeah, you don't know you've got two, right? No. I'm not allowed anymore, apparently, but it's my choice anyway. I think with what I did, like dance and everything, that obviously it could never be a part of it. Obviously, as I've got older, I realise it can, but it was just my focus. So as much as I loved kids, I loved being around kids, I taught children like dance and stuff, I loved it, didn't think of it. Not until we'd been together a few years. And even when it happened to us and we were lucky enough to fall pregnant, it was a bit of a shock. Obviously, we know how you get pregnant, but we were like, nah, we'll be all right. But it happened at the best time for us, but we didn't realise. We were a bit like, oh, I remember really panicking when I thought there was something. You can tell, can't you, with your body? And I was like, and we were actually looking at selling our house sort of in the country and moving to London, like, or a bit closer to live that like apartment life, you know, a couple of years, like live it up a little bit. And literally did a viewing, went to get a bit of like a coffee or something. And I was like, I feel a bit funny. Like, I think we should do like a pregnancy test. Like, something's just different.
I was like, no, you're not doing one. We're going away this weekend. No. It's like, no, not
oh,
doing
yeah,
it.
We were. We went away like the next day.
Yeah, it's like, no.
It's like, oh, I'm sure it's nothing. We'd been really busy working, hadn't we? And we'd booked a weekend away in Santorini. So I actually didn't do one that day. I waited a few days and we got back. but yeah, as much as we thought we weren't ready. It was actually perfect. It made us stop. Like, I think as a dancer, you just keep going. Like, I'm 39 now. I'd probably still be dancing. I would, because or maybe progressing into something else in that field. But yeah, it sort of made us stop. And actually, like, now we look back and it was perfect timing, wasn't it?
Yeah, you panicked.
I panicked hard.
Had you sat down and had that conversation about kids and your future? And were you both like,
if we had, it hadn't, no, we hadn't even, like, we didn't even really speak about marriage. Moving in was a big thing. I remember speaking to him once. We'd been together probably a couple of years, and I was like, do you think that maybe, like, that would be a good step? And he just was like, yeah, I like it how it is. Like, I'm not ready, basically. And I was like, well, actually, I'm a bit older than you and I am ready. So have a think about it, because if not, maybe we need to just be friends. And, like, I had to be honest, because I was like, otherwise I can't stay like this for another year, like, more, you know.
And that's such a big conversation to have.
Like, I loved him so much. But if he's never going to give me, I was starting to feel like I wanted more in our relationship. And if he wasn't, I don't think I could have ever left you, really. But yeah, I just was scaring him. But no, I remember saying that to him. And I did. I was really, like, devastated, thinking, well, if he can't even think about that, then maybe we're not right for each other. And then fast forward a few months, I was away on X Factor tour. And it was Valentine's Day. And he said, oh, I've sent you some flowers. I was like, oh, I haven't got them yet. I'll wait out for them. And then there was a knock on the dressing room door. All the dancers were there as well. We're getting ready for the show. And we was in Belfast, I think. Mm-hmm. And in come a big bunch of flowers, and this one's hiding behind them, which I thought he was away working. So that was lovely. So that was a lovely surprise. Yeah. And I opened the card, and it wasn't a Valentine's card. It just had a thing on it. It said, you've moved. And he had moved all my stuff into his house, put all the wardrobe. I had Polaroids in the card. So when he did do it, he did it amazingly. Gosh. Like, it was a real moment. I remember that moment very well. Got a big tick. But yeah, and there was all Polaroids in the card of my stuff in the house. So yeah, he just needed time. And I think I've realised that with you anyway. I think things shock, like, it's scare you a little bit. Like, even with us, like, when we first started sort of getting, we started, like, liking each other, you was like, you took a step back, didn't you?
Because I don't like to talk about it. I like to just do it, if that makes any sense. It's like the whole pregnancy thing was a bit like, I don't really want, like, I never.
You're not a planner, are you?
I'm not a planner, and I'm not that person to go, I want kids and I want marriage and I want this and da da da. So whenever that conversation was brought up, it was a bit like, it's fine. Like, everything's how it is. It's cool. Like, this is good.
That's interesting though, isn't it? Because Aston, I imagine career-wise, you are a planner.
I am.
Do you know what I mean? So is it that thing?
Yes, I am a planner, but I plan out goals. So I've got milestones to hit. So I'm like, I need to do this. I need to do this. We need to get there and do this. So it's not so much a kind of, as you know, having the diary set out and whatever else. Before, it was very much, it's okay. I'm doing this today. I'm doing this today. Yeah. Da, da, da. That's fine. I'll just kind of go with it and see what happens. Whereas now, obviously with children it's very different, but as of now, each day as it comes exactly. I've always just kind of been like, we'll just see and even with the, as you said, when the pregnancy news kind of happened, I think you were very much like on the verge of tears, but I think it was that kind of thing. I don't know what to do. I'm like almost kind of like saying sorry, and I was like,
I wasn't sure if you were there.
What do you mean?
Like, yeah, you were brilliant, but I was nervous that if that was the reality, like, is this good? Like, what are we gonna do? Like, are you ready for this? But I think we both didn't realize that we actually were. Mm. And it ended up being obviously the best thing to happen to us. But
Were you together when you took the test, Sarah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my God. So we got back off this weekend and we went straight. I was like, right, now we need to go straight to Tesco.
Yeah. From the airport.
Yeah. We didn't go to the one near our house, one slightly further away. I don't know why.
You do know why.
Well,
basically.
Yeah, because people will see you, surely.
Yeah, but I know.
We live in a nice little village.
Nothing to hide here. Like, we're adults.
I'll tell you what, Amazon is a great place to buy your pregnancy tests. Future reference.
Excellent. But yeah.
Not for future reference, no.
Yeah, thank you. Noted. I remember buying these pregnancy tests though, and I bought bananas, big things to hide, like as I scanned it through. This is how amateur we were. I bought one test. Who buys one test?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that clear.
No, it wasn't even. Yeah, back. It wasn't.
Oh, go back and go.
So as clear blue as it says, it wasn't very clear at all.
They're never clear. I never go for the lime ones because the whole time going, is it? I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm
just
not sure.
Pregnant, not pregnant. It makes life
that's
easy.
That's all we need. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So then I had to go back out after that.
Of course.
We come back and did it and go to another Tesco and see if they had pregnancy tests with my hood up. And and ran out. And
We felt like we were doing something wrong. I don't know, like mum and dad are going to tell us off. I don't know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Even still sometimes I feel like, are we grown-ups? Oh, yeah, we are.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know if it's dancing, I don't know if it's the career we're in. Sometimes I just feel like, I don't know.
I mean, actually, I've got a question for you, Giovanna. After you found out that you were pregnant, what did you do? Because we just went, oh, great, excited. And then you go,
what now?
Okay, so what do you do? We honestly sat there for a couple of minutes going, what now? Is that it?
I think
so. Well, was there a feeling for you of like, that's like life is changing?
No.
I don't remember.
No, at that moment, honestly, like we just went,
right, what does that, okay, well, we cool. knew what that meant, but
what do we do now?
Do we
tell people? Or
do we need appointments? Yeah.
No
actually, idea. No one really talks about that bit. What do you do when
straight
you find out that you're
after,
pregnant?
Yeah.
No, after the excitement and the hug and the, oh, yeah, it's me. Then what?
Hmm.
Yeah, we did nothing.
Yeah. We did. We got a hospital appointment.
The next day, I'm saying.
Yeah, what is there to do? Just be like, okay.
Lovely. Well, I'm going to have a glass of wine. You can't.
Yeah.
And...
Did you eventually come round to the idea of the pregnancy after the initial shock of it?
Yeah, no, definitely. My thing the first time was I didn't know how you was going to react. That was my. That's why I was nervous. I didn't really probably think about how I actually was feeling about it. It was, it felt like a natural step, even though unplanned, it still felt like a natural step. But I was more worried about how you reacted. And then you obviously were amazing. So then I was like, well, great then, So I think it was more relief that, okay, cool, he's on side.
I'm on side, it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't, that whole pregnancy thing for me, honestly, just, it sounds really weird. I just didn't know what to do because I was like, well, this isn't happening to me. It is. But this isn't happening to me.
Yeah,
so I can't really, and I'm fully involved. And I'm here. What do you need? How can I help? But it wasn't until the little person pops out and you go, oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Because
as the dad, you just don't feel that instant connection. You're a bit like, this is amazing. And I can feel the kicks and this is great. And kind of reacts to the voice sometimes and music, and it was really like it was an amazing experience. But until Grayson arrived, it was just like, I need to make sure Sarah's okay. That was it. And you can't, I don't know, I felt really weird. And I was a bit like, does everybody feel like you're not connected, but you're a bit like, well, what? Yeah, this is okay. 6 months to go, 5 months to go, a month to go.
You were amazing.
You're just waiting. And also, I think Tom always felt like he was relying on me to vocalize how I was feeling or to, to explain what was going on, because otherwise he felt so out of the loop of it.
That's it. And you do like, especially as a guy, you're a bit like, I don't understand. I don't like the belly's getting bigger, cool, like kicking, nice. And I'm going, how's that feel? What is that? Does it feel like you're full? Like, does it feel... like, is it weird? I was just asking really stupid questions.
Oh, you were good.
Yeah.
Very good. You'd run out and get me oranges or chocolate when I needed it. So it's great.
Yeah.
Oranges or chocolate? Are they your thing?
For Grayson, they were.
No. Co-op.
Oh, yeah.
Easy peel.
Yeah, they were these Spanish oranges from the co-op. But co-op's closest to us, maybe why. But they were amazing. And I just really craved them.
Yeah, like the box.
And chocolate.
A full box
wow,
of
chocolate
oranges.
Every day.
Like, I'm not sure
that's I was like, oxytocin, it's good. My oxytocin, the chocolate. That was my
oxytocin.
Yeah.
To this day, yeah.
What was your pregnancy like? Was it straightforward?
Yeah, it was... Yeah, Grayson was fine. They were both really... I was really, really lucky. Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
I found the first trimester with both of them the hardest in different ways. Tired, felt sick with Grayson. Wasn't really sick, maybe once or twice. Didn't have morning sickness or anything. So I know I was very, very lucky with that. Bad headaches. That was probably the worst thing.
Mm.
And that tiredness. And I really didn't really have much of an appetite that first. Even my favourite things, I was like, no, can't eat that. And then once you get past that bit, I was fine, really, really good and lucky.
Your thing I think Sarah's main thing was the how tired she would get. She was never used to that.
Right.
So yeah. Always someone with so much energy and able to do, I'll teach all day here, then I'll work this job here tomorrow, and then straight after that one, I'm going to go do this, and I've got this show here. And it was very much like you're doing...
Yeah, I did it
18-hour days. Sometimes you go, this is nuts.
No,
so then,
yeah,
when you were not that you're forced, but your body is just going, I can't. I'm going to sleep now. I'm literally talking to you, going, I'm going to sleep. I can't, and just gone. I was like, this is incredible. I've never seen someone just talk to me and just go because
mid-sentence.
Yeah,
you want to sleep at the same time.
Literally. Yeah, but. Like incredible, like her body was literally going, this is what you need to do.
Mm.
And you're good at listening to your body as well, to be fair. But yeah, that was just a very interesting time to kind of be like, no, you're not almost in control. You need to do what I'm telling
you. I was talking to Kimberly Wyatt actually earlier in the this series about that, because obviously being dancers, you're so used to knowing what you can do with your body and that control thing, and all of a sudden you've got to lean into the pregnancy and hand your, you know, you can't. I mean, do you slow down? Did you slow down in
pregnancy? I didn't slow down.
I know loads of dancers are just like, I know my body.
I do know my, and especially with Grayson.
That's the thing. Different... Dancers do know their bodies.
And I actually think it helped my pregnancy by carrying on. Obviously.
Right.
I didn't push it too far, because it's not about just me, it's about that small person that I'm growing inside, and I was always aware of that. I kind of knew what I could and couldn't do. I remember we did a show, didn't I? I was 6 months pregnant, and I ended up getting on stage and doing a full on, I was doing some tricks and everything, but I knew I could like everyone was like, what are you doing? I was like, I wouldn't do anything that I knew would, even if it was slightly risky, I wouldn't put myself or the baby in danger. But it's quite liberating as well. It's like, I can still do this. I'm growing this human inside. It felt really good. And I think
I was
that
there
helped
going,
with...
Oh my God.
Yeah, I remember poor
Get
you.
Off.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I'm sure it's a last minute thing. I filled in for someone that couldn't be there. So like something like that. But yeah. Yeah. But yeah, no. I was really, really lucky. I really enjoyed pregnancy. Tired, and you get uncomfortable at the end, don't you? That when that belly gets bigger and bigger, and that on the sleeping at the end, I was like, yeah, I was very tired. Macaulay was.
How did you feel going towards your labour and towards the birth?
I was really naive the first time. I was really excited. I was like, oh, can't wait, I've got this. I felt really like strong and powerful. Then when it started to happen, my waters broke actually 4 a.m. the 2 days before he came. Early hours before, the day before he came, my waters broke but felt nothing. So I was like, okay, it's happening. And he was a week late. So you know when you get to the due date, well, you think, well, that's it now, especially the first time. I'm aware now that due dates mean nothing. But yeah, got to the due date, nothing. And then we'd been all the things because you just want to meet this little person. Bearing in mind, there is no rush. We could have just like settled and rested. But no, I waters broke, no pains or anything. Went into the hospital, they checked me out and they said, you're having very, very mild contractions. Like it could be a long day.
No. Wait. She put the little
monitor
on Sarah's on the belly and your arm, sorry. And then the nurse went, "Can you feel that?" He went, "No, not really." She went, "Well, that's a contraction." So, and yeah. I think that kind of almost gave you like false probably hope of the pain.
Yeah, I've got
like
this.
As in Funny she was like, feeling. "Oh, you can't feel- oh, okay, right,
yeah,
wow, okay, this is not feeling anything. This is
yeah
interesting."
We went away. We had lunch. We went to base. So we obviously well, you own base, don't you? Dance studios. And we went there. It hadn't been finished yet. And it was nearly finished. We was, I remember you sweeping up. I'm just walking around FaceTiming our friends saying, yeah, we're in like we're in labour. I bend down on my knees and be like, oh,
look
that's
how breezy
contraction.
This is.
Yeah, yes. That was a contraction. I've got Rochelle on the phone. I've got a picture of us on FaceTime. Oh, and she's like, I don't understand. And I'm on the floor. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's one. And then I'm fine again. Obviously, we know that is not how it goes.
Because yeah. I've got the picture of... 11 o'clock at night.
No, it's 3 a.m. we went over. It's 3 a.m. we went back over.
Is it 3 a.m.?
Yeah, 11 okay. at night that night was when I was like, whoosh, oh, wow, wow, okay. And the worst thing about it all, I had tomato soup at around 8, 9 o'clock, thinking that was a good thing to have. Oh, my God, it repeated on me through the whole labour. And then I couldn't have tomato
oh, no.
soup for a very, very long time, like very long time. And then, yeah, once 3 a.m. kicked in and I was just like, no, we have to go now, like the baby's coming. It wasn't, I wasn't even, what was that?
Yeah,
two or three centimeters.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was just in denial that first time. I
but that's really that feels what... that when you get told that you're but when you're told you're 2 or 3 centimeters, you're like, what?
Yeah, what?
I've
yeah.
got so long to go. How yeah. am I feeling this? And there's that.
Yeah, this is really painful. Ow. Like and I think, yeah, I just yeah, you just Ooh. Don't know. You can't plan for something that you've never been through, can you? But yeah, sure. So it was quite a long labour in that sense. But again, I'd wasted all my energy. Like I was very uneducated, I'll say. I thought I was ready to give birth, but I just didn't know enough. Whereas the second time, knowing what I went through the first time, I was clued up. And we was in lockdown as well with Macaulay. So I was like watching, listening to podcasts, reading books. Like I was like, I am going to be in control this time. And it was a much better labour. Because yeah.
What did you do? Did you do hypnobirthing or anything?
I did do some hypnobirthing. Just breathing, even just the breathing side of it really helped me. I rode the wave every time with Macaulay,
yeah.
and it just really helped me understand that it goes up, but it has to come back down.
Yeah.
And I do like I actually, it was a different labour because he had the cord around his neck. So we thought he was like coming, and also my waters hadn't broke with him. So I think they came and we thought it was him coming, didn't we? But actually it was just so there was a little other complication, but generally it was a lot shorter, which meant I wasn't as knackered. I think
yeah.
that was mm-hmm. the main thing with Grace, and I was just so tired. I remember kept saying to Aston, I just need a nap. Just let me close my eyes, but you can't stop contractions, can you? And I only had gas and air because I'm stupid probably. But again, another thing, going back to the dancer thing, with both of them, I need to know what's going on in my body. I don't need to be numb to it. I actually really need to know. It helps my head. So as much as I didn't yeah. want to feel some of those contractions, I needed to. So I didn't have pain relief. But I remember it got to a point with Grace and I was like, is it too late now? Because I am knackered and I don't know if I can do this. But we do it, we get there in the end, don't we?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd say both very different, but I really learned from the first time how I wanted to make
And that's the thing, I think so many people, so many women, if they have a first experience, which maybe isn't the most positive, it can put a lot of fear going yeah. into it again. Or even if you do have a positive experience, then there's an expectation and then
yeah.
an apprehension of, oh, it's what if it's not like that? And I think actually that it's never too late to pick up a book, to watch a video, to
never.
See what you can do to empower yourself.
I would do
and
it
your
again
person.
As well.
Also, would you?
Well, as if we were pregnant again and we were going to have another baby, I would definitely read more. I'd want to know
yeah.
more because it really helped. Like the difference
yeah.
between the two, even you saw it, didn't you? Like you
oh,
were,
yeah.
yeah. But you were like the first time you was like headless chicken, didn't know what to do right to help me, because you don't.
Yeah.
Second time
yeah.
you were chilled, right? I swear you was feet up watching Friends.
I was watching Friends the second time. Yeah. Mm. I was like, oh, you're fine. You're good.
I have a
you're
photo okay. of Tom napping behind me.
Oh.
I'm like, this is not on.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you nap when all I want to do is nap?
Can you remember meeting Grayson for the first time?
Yes.
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 that was this. So this is for me, this is the craziest thing where I go, I get to see him first because obviously it's a bit like Grayson's taken away by the doctor. And I'm like over at the table with him. I'm like,
no, he came to my chest first, but you saw him first. He came straight
he had to
my
get
chest.
Checked.
No, he came
straight. No, he had to get checked.
Oh, see, I've told you, I've forgotten.
Had to get checked over right, super fast.
He just basically, his head was getting stuck. So they had to do a little bit of Vontus.
Yeah. So then doctor,
couldn't get around the bend, could he?
Yeah. So doctor straight out, literally for a few seconds, took him over to the table. I'm just like, and we didn't know what we were having as well. Mm-hmm. So then me getting to find out that it was a boy first and just those little things, I was a bit like,
yeah.
As I said earlier, like, kind of pestering you and being like, well, what's it feel like? And then, and kind of being a bit like, I'm not connected yet. Those little things were just like, like the weight had gone in a way, because you just kind of like, oh, it's a boy. It's like, and I was just like, tears and it's amazing. Like, I didn't really know what was going on. And yeah, then like literally it was on, like, Grayson was on your chest. And then it was all kind of like a bit of a blur from there. And then he was like, do you want to come and cut the umbilical? I was like, okay.
Wanting to do everything you could.
Just wanted to literally be fully involved. But it was just this
like, little person.
Yeah, it's a little person. But at this, again, they were both actually quite blue, weren't they, at the time? And it was just a bit like, and it was a bit like, he's okay, right? Because I was just like, I'd never seen a newborn baby like that before. I'm like, if it's not in a film or it's not someone send you a picture after the baby's cleaned up and warmed up and whatever else, you're a bit like, he's all blue and like stuff everywhere. Like, that's okay, right? It's like, that's like fine. Like, wrapped in a towel, totally warm within seconds. I was a bit like, it's so weird. And then it was a bit like, you could see kind of like eyes trying to open and you're like,
yeah, he did straight away, didn't he?
Yeah, like really. It was just weird because, as I said, I was never not educated in that way, but I just never experienced anything like that.
You from, can't really.
Yeah, but even like from friends and stuff. Like, I had friends that had kids, but I'd never see. Yeah. Like, no. I see them when, okay, visiting hours. Oh, they say, oh, look at our newborn baby. That's lovely. And I'm sleeping. This is great. Everything before that, the manicness, you just don't experience. And you just kind of go, this is
crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. Mm. Unreal, but his little face.
Yeah.
And how did you feel leaving the hospital? Because that's such a big moment when you've had that. The world suddenly becomes smaller, and then you look out the window and you've got to suddenly carry this baby in a car seat out. And it's
I wouldn't let him
like
drive
the world has changed. How does
10 miles an hour? I was like, no, not that bump. Like, literally, I was
the longest way home.
Longest way home, took about 2 hours to get home. And I just, it's scary. It's like, because we was in there a couple of days and the nurses were amazing. And even with feeding, I felt like I needed them to be able to feed him, right? Because it's all new, isn't it? Everything is new for you, for me, for him. And I was really, I cried on the way home but your hormones are everywhere anywhere. Mm. But I think it was that worry that what if we can't do that without the hospital or, you know, but who are we going to call? Because as much as, you know, you can read stuff through late. Nothing prepares you for when you're holding this person that solely relies on you guys. So I think, it didn't last a lot. Like, we were just emotional. I was like quite emotional. You were quite ready for it, weren't you?
I was just eager, I think, to
get life started.
I need to, you know, let's do it.
Get out of the hospital.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, let's go.
It's hard though, I think. So you're either in a place where, actually you feel really comforted there, and you feel like the people there are really helping you, and you know, it's a little cocoon, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or you feel like, I just need to get out, I just need to try and do this.
I think second time we had the boys in the same hospital, but second time, and it was COVID, we were literally in and out, but that's because we wanted to get back to Grayson as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And
make that as normal as possible, because it is that.
Yeah.
Everyone says it as a joke, but it's a bit like Grayson actually was like, okay, so baby's going back now.
Yeah. After a few days.
He's going back now.
Baby go back.
And you're a bit like, Baby stays. Yeah. He's like, no, baby's going back now. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is this is interesting. Yeah. But that dynamic changed so fast anyway, and he was amazing.
He was good, yeah.
Yeah. And
did you put a lot of thought into how you'd let Grayson meet Macaulay?
Yeah. Yeah, because in an ideal world, we didn't really want us to bring a new baby into our house that Grayson lives in. But obviously with COVID, he couldn't come to the hospital.
Mm.
We would have liked it to have been more like that. But it worked out well. We sort of, Macaulay was in the car seat, wasn't he?
Bribery, basically, is what we said.
We bought him presents. We did buy presents from Macaulay.
And it was a bit like, look, he's made you this book. And there's, I think he loved Nemo at the time. And it's a bit like, look, he's got this teddy in this book. And he's like, baby, look, we've got a book. And it was like,
it was really,
this is good. He's bonding. This is nice.
Yeah.
We just
made a point of like, sort of not.
We'll make it a bit more about Grayson.
That us holding, like, you know, walking in with a new baby. We tried to make it like, we said, we've got a present. Like, we've got someone for you to meet, a new friend. And we just let him just take his time. He kept coming back and looking, didn't he? And then he'd sort of smirk, and he was quite fascinated, actually. He was two and four months. So we're still really young. It was lovely. But the guilt, I really struggled with the guilt during the pregnancy, thinking, how are we going to do it? Like, how do we split our time, attention? Grayson's going to really feel it. I felt really guilty. And even when Macaulay was here, because then they are attached to us, aren't they? Especially with feeding and everything. And even quite a few times, Grayson would be like, Mommy, put Macaulay down, put baby down. And I felt there was quite a lot of tears, weren't there?
Mm.
If you could write a letter on being a mum or dad on parenthood, who would it be to and what would you say?
Who'd it be to?
I'd like to have wrote myself a letter before I embarked on this journey.
Nice. What would you have said?
Just precious time. Time is precious. Don't worry about the other things. I'm getting better, but I used to worry about doing everything when actually just being with them, sitting with them, even if we're not doing very much. I used to, especially at first, I'd be like, well, we haven't done anything today, though. I swear Grace used to go soft play every day because I thought that's what you did. And if you didn't, that means he wasn't having fun. Like, I was very like, but actually just being with them, doing a puzzle with them, sitting with them, reading with them, they really count as much as the big things that we do. They love it. They just want, even now, but you can't always do that, trust. Like, even now, Grayson will get me from school. Mommy, can you sit with me? I'm just going to put the dinner on. And I feel like I'm always saying, but I'm just going to get the washing out. And he said to me the other day, he was like, why do you always have to do those things? And I was like, oh, I wish I didn't, but you know, it's balance. And again, you know, they can't have all our time. I was, you know, nothing, but as much as possible, they're the important things, not everything else. I teach myself to sleep more when I was younger because that's still terrible.
You know, you don't bank that stuff though, right?
It's not like a bank account. Yeah, you can't top it up.
I wish there was a way of, you know, just like charging yourself up a bit. Yeah, the sleep thing, I'm still not great now. I'm working on it. But more sleep, bank it a little bit. But just to try and sort of prepare you for the roller coaster. Amazing. Like I love being a mother. Like, it is the best thing I've ever done. Obviously I had a great career, but being a mum and your wife, this is really, I didn't have that family growing up. I didn't have the dad figure. I had brothers and I had my mum and they're amazing, but I didn't. And so I guess I've always really craved that and wanted that. And that's really important. And seeing them and seeing us and doing things together is, just my favourite thing, making memories of you guys. So yeah, they're the things that count, aren't they?
Yeah, totally. Mm. We finished the podcast with you completing three sentences.
Okay.
So the first one is, being a mum or dad means?
Being a dad means that you are responsible for building and shaping, in our case, two beautiful souls that need the guidance. So when they need the guidance through this crazy world that we live in. And being a dad is the best job in the world, getting to guide these two little Legends.
Yeah. I'm full of that.
Huh?
I'm full of that. No, being a mum, you've got that bit covered. So I think for me, being a mum is loving and caring and showing them, just looking after them. And it's hard. It's definitely hard. It's not always easy. It's a journey, but it's the most precious journey. And it literally fills my heart to the brim, even on the bad days. Yeah, we look through even on the bad days when they've not been the easiest to handle. You then get your phone out, don't you, and look back at baby pictures or videos and like they're the cutest thing ever. So yeah, it's just a roller coaster, but a really special one.
Yeah. Next sentence is,
Since having children, I don't sleep very well and can't really blame them in a really weird way. Because I think that's, you said it the other day, you just wake up. I don't think, even when they have slept through the night, you just kind of wake up going, why aren't they? Are they? They're okay, aren't they? Yeah, they're fine. They're all right. And then back, I don't know. I think it's a thing now, whether you sleep through the night and you don't work. Since Grayson was born, once a night.
Yeah.
Once a night, regardless if he slept through or McCauley slept through or they haven't.
Yeah.
I think it's,
maybe that's an age thing as well. I don't know.
Your bladder's getting weaker, Aston.
Yeah, exactly. Need to be your
pelvic floor. Oh dear!
Right. Since having children, I've learned a new level of patience, and a whole new level of love, and just. I appreciate time more. I definitely appreciate time more. I also really appreciate quiet and my own time when I get it. Because we do work a lot here with them around, which is amazing that we can do that. Sometimes I say to Aston, I can't, like, if everyone is talking, but like you might be blaring some music on your phone because you've got to do that. They're doing that. The telly's on, the game's being played, and it literally hurts my head. So I do really... as much as, all those amazing things, you do need a bit of you time and you really do need a bit of quiet sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm happy when?
I'm happy when it's all four of us again. So even now, looking at the time, we're going, right, okay, Grayson will be home in a few hours. And... I know how excited Sarah will be to see him, how excited McCauley will be to see him and myself. And then he gets in and there's a whole, like, that burst of energies in the house again. And we're all kind of shouting and screaming and Sarah needs 5 minutes and then we're, going for it. I'm happy when it is the four of us for sure. I think it feels complete.
Nice.
Same, really. Happiest when, just all together making a memory. But that could literally be us putting some music on and dancing like whatever we feel like in the house.
Absolutely.
And seeing pure joy on these little faces. And it literally makes us so happy. And I see joy in your face. And it doesn't have to be much. But those moments are my happiest.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much for giving me your time today and having a little chat.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at yoquierodineropodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.